This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Dovetail Vienna style lager as we talk about Soxfest, the Revolution 10-year party. Congratulations to Open Bottle on their 5-year. And then stay tuned for another episode coming out this week with Michael Kaiser. All that and more on this week's episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
We're getting down with a lager town. It's not a different beer, right? Lager town's a beer.
That's Half Acres October. Yeah. Oktoberfest.
No, I lied. It's not lager town. But we are drinking lagers.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Yes, yeah. Vienna style lager from Dovetail.
You get the sweetness from the Vienna malts, Brad.
This is the first time having Dovetail in cans on the show. We've had the fruit one that you've picked up with your Dovetail bucks.
Dovetail dollars, yeah.
Dovetail dollars.
The creek.
Yeah.
Cherry Creek.
Spontaneously.
Fermented, yeah. Mm-hmm. The XO was like the smoked table beer.
Right? Oh, right, yeah.
And, but yeah, those were bottles. This is cans. I think they're doing this in the Dovetail Lager, right?
You're the Helles.
In the Helles. Helles Lager and probably the Hef.
Yeah, something like that. We opened these and they were maybe overly carbonated. Like, they kind of exploded out of here. We probably will open up another one here on the video. But
a tad of a gusher, yeah. It's fair.
Yeah. But this is from November, so it doesn't really matter on those dates for a lager beer.
No, man.
It does, but not in the short term. But yeah, it's not the same. It's good. It's just not the same as drinking it there.
There's a whole different vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the little mug. I like everything about being at Dovetail. And I thought I'd get that when I took it home. But I don't know. I just want to go to the tap room more. Maybe that's their game.
I don't know, man. But yeah, I'm getting the same vibe, yeah.
Huh. Nothing wrong with it. It's good. Dovetail's always good, but yeah. Keep sipping on it, though. We'll see. Maybe it'll grow on us. Cool. Well, we had a busy week. We both made it to quite a few things, especially after our lackluster, last week?
We bounced back. I'm very happy with our performance this week.
Yeah.
You know?
Where do we start? You went to Soxfest. That was probably the first thing of the day.
That's true. Friday afternoon, went to Soxfest. I got to see the good folks at Goose Island. So President Todd Ashman, I think it's spelled Ashman. Oh, and the head brewer, the brewmaster now.
Okay.
Yeah. Since Jerry Jankowski left, now the brewmaster is...
I don't know.
God damn it, Brad. I could picture him, too. He's got the long beard. Keith.
Yeah.
Keith Gabbett. He's been there forever. How could I forget Keith?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're calling themselves the official beer, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Mm. So this is
Is that so?
Goose Island's Golden Ale made its debut. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like, Keith, have you guys made a Golden? He's like, you know, they had it on draft at Clybourne years ago. Yeah, maybe like 7 years ago. Okay. But I don't think they've ever packaged a Golden. They've gotten close. Summertime was like a Kolsch. I think there might have been something called Golden Goose back then he was talking about that they made.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There was something else that's really close to a Golden Ale.
So this is going to be in cans. Shit.
312. One of those 312s was a pale. Wasn't blue line, right? Blue. No, that's what I'm not. It was either green line or blue line. Were like straight up poppy pales, right?
Yeah, 312 green is a but became like it was Green Line, but I think that was a hoppy pale.
Yeah.
Blue Line, yeah. But Blue Line became...
I think...
Not Solo.
This is
No Coast? No.
I think Green... I think Green Line was like this blend of the IPA and 312, I think. But then Blue was just a hoppy pale.
Right, so not a golden.
None of these were golden, but I think they got close.
Then Blue Line became something else.
Yeah, it was too many. I think it was too confusing for folks.
It made sense here, but then...
312 Green, right?
Yeah, there was 312 Green. I haven't seen 312 Green in a long time.
So this is confusing, because there's a Green Line, but this ain't 312 Green. I'm confused just talking about it.
Well, and people got mad because Green Line was supposed to be their eco project that was super local. We'll never brew this beer outside of here because it's, you know, we're trying to like conserve. It was a conservation kind of beer.
It was all about footprint.
Yeah.
Very small footprint. That's why they named it after the train. And then, before you know it, it's being brewed
everywhere. People are like,
we have been bamboozled.
Yeah.
Led astray.
I'm thinking, was one of the Pitchfork beers a golden ale? Like, I can't even think of who might have been.
Those beers are typically the Chance the Rapper beer.
Yeah.
Was like that.
I feel like the Chance one might have been, right? Because he doesn't really.
And then.
Want something easy drinking or something.
Most of the garage, most of them have been in that vein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Run the Jewels.
Which is the best of all those collaborations, because that was a hoppy wheat ale, and it was hopped the fuck up. It was great.
Yeah.
That's still my favorite Pitchfork beer. Yeah. I need to bring that. They should have put that. That should be the dude.
Then the...
That should be the...
The Sox beer?
That should be the Sox beer.
Right. But this comes in a... So it comes in a black can, a black Sox can, that looks like dry hop 312.
A tad. Color scheme's a little different.
Oh.
And then 312 has the matted... city map on it, right? Like embossed. It's an embossed city map.
Okay.
Right. This has this is more of a blank black can with the Sox logo on one side and Goose's logo on the other side.
Okay.
Yeah. Close color schemes, yeah. Nice can. I think for the show they had the four packs there, but the actual cans were still, they didn't approve the final design of the cans. So
okay.
The cans weren't, we weren't drinking out of cans, we were drinking it on draft.
Oh.
And then the mock-up can was the gigantic, like, 20, 30-foot can.
Was it full, too?
Man, how cool would that be?
It'd be like the Canadian beer movie where they have to drink themselves out.
Beer Fest?
No, the one with the Canadian one over there.
I'm trying to think of which one that is.
I
just remember
Beer
Fest.
I'm, blanking on the name. I can't, not remember names in the last 2 days. I've been, ridiculous of anything.
I like Beer Fest. I saw that one. I watched it the other day.
That's the Das Boot one.
Das Boot, yeah.
So was the beer good?
Yeah, there's a little bit of rye in there. I think there's like a little cascade.
Okay.
Right. So it's got a nice bite. And it's just interesting enough. It's light and refreshing, but it's also still something you can get excited about.
Okay. So now they have for the Sox, and they have the Blue Cubby for it.
Are they still doing that?
Are they still doing this? That's still around, right?
Well, you know, that Cubby Blue was Blue. The Goose Wrigley's house beer. It was like a blueberry.
It was Blueberry 312, basically.
Right. Yeah. So, selfishly, right, you know, Sox historically have had attendance issues. So I'm like, no, man, you got to serve this beer just at Sox Park. Get people to come out. Kind of how like the Bulls are doing. There's a Dark Matter bag of Chicago Bulls coffee you can get, but you have to go to the United Center to get it.
Okay.
So
they have no problem getting people to go there.
To the UC? Man, the Bulls are rough, man. The Bulls are on pace to lose like 60 games.
Oh, so now maybe it's easier.
But they're like, no, man, but the can is so sweet. The packaging is so sweet that it's going to be in stores. Which, you know, that's cool. I was just excited that they're at least making they have a Sox beer in packaging, which I don't recall ever happening. I'm sure it has.
Right.
I just don't remember. So that's cool.
That's pretty neat, yeah. Especially because Royals Kansas City has that beer in cans.
the LA Dodgers, which is also an AB band. Golden Road produces an LA Dodgers beer. You know, the Atlanta Braves have a three-barrel system at the brewery.
Oh, really?
And then, of course, you know, Tentham, what was it, Tentham Blake?
Miller Court or Coors Field or whatever it's called now.
Whatever's in Colorado, the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, baseball and beer have this connection. Like, so this is cool. I'm on board for it. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it last week how, you know, it's a trip how all of a sudden, you know, not even like the last 3-4 years, Sox Park has really got their act together with beer selection.
Well, right. So that was my next question. As like Sox Park is known for all this beer, would you pick that beer over some of the other offerings that you can find there?
We kind of joked, ABV Chicago was there. Shout out to them. Because he had on this sweet Don Cooper jersey from 2005. That was the pitching coach. And he got it at the garage sale. Oh, but anyway, we kind of joked that, you know, it's kind of tailgate weather the first month of the season.
Okay.
So you could have some heavier beers on. You know, don't get me wrong. In June, I will crush this Golden Ale out the can. Oh, and then it's going to, you know, it'll be like the Pitchfork one where you peel a label off and it reveals the schedule for the year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd like to see Goose dive a little bit deeper into their vault because they got one of the deepest vaults in town for, you know, historical beers. You know, give us some Imperial Naughty Goose every once in a while, you know, for a night game.
Yeah.
Or a holiday game, you know? Especially out there, man. You know, like the pairing is good, the Sox and Goose. And you know, the Sox have changed their logo and their uniform more times than any other team in sports.
Oh, really?
So we deserve this Goose Island thing to stay on brand and give us more styles. That's all.
Hmm.
So.
Well, the Sox are supposed to be good this year too, right?
Well, we spent a lot of money in the right places. So, you know, we could use a little more relief pitching, but I think our 2-7 hitters, we're loaded, man. We're ready.
So maybe Goose felt like it was time, kind of put some money there.
Yeah, you know, it was funny to hear, like, you talk to the Goose guys, and like, yeah, oh, the Sox reached out to us. They said, hey, you want to do something like this? And then you hear the Sox guys, and the Sox guys are like, yeah, you know, it's the exact opposite. Yeah, you know, Goose reached out and said,
it was kind of funny.
Isaac Guillen showed up. You know, he was a manager of the 05 champs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he gets the first pour, you know. And then, you know, he's got to talk to the media. So he's got this Goose water bottle. So he immediately pours it in there. And then he starts doing interviews, which is kind of funny. But it was cool, man.
Pick up some merch?
New Sox beer. I got the hoodie that I missed out on opening day.
Okay. That's the only one you didn't like.
I mean, oh, and then I got a really sweet wool banner with all the titles on it. All three. Not a ton of them. I didn't go crazy. All
right.
I got the hell out of there, Brad. All
right. Nice. Yeah. But you didn't make it over to Rav, which I did. I held it down there for us.
Brad was there, man. Waving the flag, man.
Yeah, I got there around 5:30, so after work here. It's just like a nice quick street down the Belmont. It was a line to get in to the tap room.
This is the last one, man.
Yeah, they were at capacity. So we waited, Sergio and I, who's been on a few episodes, we waited like 20 to 30 minutes before we could get in. So not like bad, just like, oh, this is surprising.
More than usual, because usually show up between 4 or 5 o'clock. And for the bar, there's no wait.
Yeah. So, we grabbed, he grabbed the 10-year beer. He hadn't had that. I can't remember now. One of the other ones.
Oh, Dumb All Over? That was one.
No.
That's the one with all the, that's the one where everything. It was VSO Boss.
Oh, I did get that one. It was like VOSJ. Elemental. Oh, no, I got the...
You were going to hit us with all the letters right now, weren't you?
I got the Mad Cow.
Oh, Old Very Mad Cow.
Old Very Mad Cow on Nitro.
Oh.
That was good.
That sounds nice. That so that's...
That was also VSOMC. So, yeah.
DJ.
Yeah.
I love the letters. There was the No Journey Psych Outs. That was a vanilla. Double Barrel Aged Imperial Stout with vanilla.
Didn't see that one.
All right. And then there was this one-of-a-kind cuvee by Andy Louder, which was mostly Whistle Pig and some Jack Daniels Deeth and some other something Asian Heaven Hill It was Abland on.
Okay.
Oh, and then there's Dumb All Over.
Dumb All Over, okay. Was that the one? What's in that one?
That's the one with coffee and roasted walnuts.
Oh, that sucked.
Oh, you didn't like it.
It was interesting. I think if you liked walnuts, but who really likes walnuts?
What about roasted walnuts?
It sort of came off like hard to drink. Like it was neat to try, but it was like, is this cleaning? Like, because you think of like Pine Sol and like walnut wood or stuff just like makes you sometimes think of like cleaning or freshness. And it had that sort of like, this is like thick and not pleasant.
So it wasn't your jam?
It wasn't my jam. I wasn't feeling that. I was like thinking you'd show up and I was like, oh, I got like a pour of this because I would have tried it. Jonathan Carruthers got it for us.
Oh, man.
And I was like, well, if Nick shows up, I'll just give him this because I'm done with it.
So it was the last time we were all there together, I think it was Maple Deeth and Gravedigger Billy, which were like, those are the ones where we just kind of, we had those last.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're vibing on these other ones. These other ones, they're kind of, they're behind, like, you know, yeah, the ones we dig.
So I didn't need a 10-year beer. I didn't need a cuvee. They had another one that sold out.
I
so
think then, that was the one that was a vanilla one.
Then I got a Legal Hero. And then, I was drinking pills for the rest of the night there because we were talking to Andrew Osterman, and then we ended up going in the back.
Oh, right on, because it's their 10-year party.
Yeah.
I saw some pics in the back.
They have like a band area. Uh-huh. You remember when we were there where the little area is with all the bottles and the little tap room kind of thing?
It's like almost like a little trophy room almost, right?
Right. So then behind that is a band practice area where it's amps, half stacks all set up, and the band was just rocking out. They got foosball and pinball. Or not pinball, ping pong back there.
That's funny.
Jonathan Cutler showed up, the brewer.
Jonathan Cutler from Peace?
Yeah, right, he showed up. Talked to him for a bit. I grabbed a photo, threw it up on our Twitter, because Nick always takes a photo with you when you see him.
Every time.
And I was like, I got to take one.
Every time. Yeah. I saw that, and I'm like, man, I've been walking around McCormick Place for 5 fucking hours, and these guys are in the back of Rev, getting it after it.
They had Eugene on a cask in the back. And I was like, I haven't had Eugene in a long time. And Carruthers was like, that's what everyone says.
He's a funny guy. He's got like such a dry humor.
Yeah.
He cracks me up, man.
And I talked to Jonathan Cutler about Festivale this year. And I was like, I dug it this year because I always like, dig that beer. I make sure I get there to try it. And he's like,
oh, Festivus.
Festivus, I'm like, not Festivale.
I'm like, they did a Festivale this year?
Oh, Festivus. Oh,
you guys went to Festivale? Didn't tell me?
And he was saying that's always just a mixed bag. There's not a set recipe for that beer.
Really?
It's just kind of whatever they have. And he tries to tell his staff to not, or tell the people there not to call it a holiday beer. Like, it's a winter, because it's a Belgian strong ale, right? Do not call it a winter or a holiday beer, because he's like, if we don't sell this, no one drinks this after the holidays. So you make sure you don't tell people this is a holiday beer. So it's our, you know, winter beer or, yeah, warmer or whatever they want to call it.
That makes sense.
Don't call it like a Christmas beer or a holiday beer.
I can dig it.
So that was fun hearing that.
Sounds like a fun time, man. Cheers to Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
10 years old. And the 10-year club.
Yeah.
You know, I had cuvée out the can.
Okay.
You know, cuvée's my jam. Cuvée sold out at the in cans before 10-year beer did. And I think we were kind of predicted the opposite, that if anything sold out, it'd be
10-year, it's exciting. You kind of want that can.
Yeah, but no, that wasn't the case.
Hmm.
So as of like Saturday afternoon, there was a little bit of 10-year left and all the cuvée was gone.
Okay.
So I had a cuvée. And cuvée out the can is my jam, man.
Okay, I haven't opened ours yet.
Yeah.
I'm saving it for maybe a beer pass after dark.
Where we just get, dumb all over and just tap all 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like something we would do.
Sounds like us.
Hey, but I really, so I had it on draft, right? but then on draft, a lot of that Gravedigger Billy comes through. So it's got a very firm, smoky note, like, in it. Like, you know, somewhere in the mid, right in the middle of it. But then when you have it, and it's almost like a, this is almost like an abrupt stop. But then when you have it in the can, all those flavors play so much differently together. It reminded me of how, like, all right, so one year I was, a couple years ago, I was in line for Benthic, and this guy behind me, like, I hated Code Switch from the Deep Woods series a few years ago. I hated this beer.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you what was in it. The can was purple. I'm like, it's some kind of mixed weird thing that they did with, like, Upland. And I hated it, right? And I'm telling this dude in line that he's like, you got to have it on draft. You're missing out if you don't have it on draft. I'm like, there's no way this beer is good on draft. I had it at a restaurant. It was a BYOB. I brought the can, and it pissed me off.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
But he's like, no, it's amazing on draft. So then I started, it reminded me of that, where, like, you know, I had Cuvée on tap, and I had out the can, and it was a
different experience.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we were saying with this Vienna Lager from Dovetail. It's not great out of cans, but they're drinking it at the brewery. It's the best thing ever. So, yeah, like, weren't we talking about that last time, time and place?
Oh, you're right, time and place. Code Switch was with Sun King, not Upland.
Oh, okay.
And it was Imperial Ale built on maple sugar and dark candy syrup and a Belgian yeast and blackberries.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Oh, but Cuvée, man, Cuvée out the can is proper.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I'll have to get after it. I haven't had it yet. Cool. But that was the Rev 10-year party.
Yeah.
So good time.
Yeah. Speaking of Jonathan Carruthers, I saw him last night at G-Man Tavern.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So cheers to him and Shalanda for Beer Chick and Chicago Bars. They had like a, it was like a 101 about social media.
Okay.
Right. And they were going over some basic stuff. But, you know, some basic stuff that people don't do, like claim your Google ad page, right?
Oh, yeah.
Claim it, because if you don't, customers can set your hours for you. Mm-hmm. If you don't claim your Google business page, not your Google ad page, stuff like that. Rev had a big slide deck. They talked about all this money they spend on social media. And we talked about, like, what is it, like, your organic impressions versus your paid impressions on, like, Instagram and Facebook are drastically different. Like, you can't really make a lot of waves on organic posts in Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
Yeah, Twitter is your best bet for just organic posts.
For nonsense.
Yeah. Rev gave an example. Well, Rev was cool because they showed their top 10 impressions for the year.
Uh-huh.
And I think the 10-year beer, but then right after that was, like, you know, the Chance the Snapper thing and some couple of, and the number four was like some joke they made about some Greek comedian. Oh, but an example of what they were talking about with Impact was, like, they had paid all these professional photographers to go on the Metra and take a bunch of pictures and have a lot of fun because this tall format 19.2 Anti-Hero single cell is big for them. So they threw a lot of money behind that. And it didn't really get a lot of impressions, but this organic Twitter thing about the snapper, where they actually said, hey, just so you know, we're making a beer for this crocodile or whatever.
Got more
traction.
But that's just traction on those platforms. What converts the sales is, like, right. another question. Like, maybe those paid things got more sales versus someone being like, I like that.
Yeah,
so you never, true. That's a hard one to ever know, too.
And what was interesting was, like, and we had heard this when we went to the, you and I went to the Jameson event at Rev, that it's the fastest selling beer of all time. This it's basically a wheat ale, the Chance the Snapper beer.
Oh,
okay. And it was number three in sales last year for them. This alligator beer. I thought that was interesting.
I don't know. I wonder how, was it, didn't Urban Renewal do one too?
Yeah.
But, you know, some of these breweries just hit right or just pop at the right moment and get the traction.
Yeah. So that was cool. Oh, but cheers to them. I like seeing Jonathan. And I haven't been at G-Man Tavern. It's right next door to Metro. The venue, the music venue.
Oh, not the brewery.
Not the brewery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
So that was cool.
Awesome. I was over last night. I was at Old Irving Brewing.
Right on.
had some Beezer. They had another one on a new hazy one. I'm blanking on the name of it.
God damn it, Brad.
Because I can't remember anything. I didn't even check in on it.
How am I supposed to hop in and tell you what it was if you didn't check in on it?
I don't know. It like was new that day. It was tasting better than Beezer.
No kidding.
Because then I had a Beezer later. I was like, I kind of like the other one better. Beezer was feeling... It was Beezer was like my third beer, so maybe it was feeling too heavy at the moment.
Yeah.
But that Della, that Pils is fantastic. And then they also had a fruited sour on that was really nice. Sounds good. I did try... They had a beer with maple syrup on it. In it, that was like way too sweet for me. They have their Krumpus series. I know the hop not the hop review, Porch Drinking did like that series. I sometimes find Old Irving's big beers a little too much for me. Like they're very sweet. So
yeah,
that's me personally. But they have fun stuff. They have like a white chocolate stout on things like that.
That was one of my favorite shows, doing the show from Old Irving and the right in the brew house with Trevor. Trevor's a good hang.
Yeah, I didn't see him there last night. They do have Double Beezer coming out soon.
Okay.
So it's going to hit cans too, so be ready for that. Be ready.
Yeah, I wonder. Beezer, I see what you did there. Yeah. Just don't make it super boozy like Two Hearted did with Double Two Hearted. Didn't we have that on the show?
We did, yeah.
It was a mess.
But then I was talking at the rev party. There's a little hearted.
There's a little hearted. A little 3.5, little 98 calorie hearted. Little hearted.
It's got to be better than double two hearted, right?
I hope it's little.
It's too. Like a little can or a little
just like
Cornita
just
bottle.
I hope it's little LIL and it comes and it comes in the 8 ounce Coronita bottle. Yeah.
Nice. All right. See, look at us making it to stuff, doing the podcast proud. The whole point of the show.
Out in these streets, man. Shout out to the Beer Temple. They had a pop up of three different record stores there. So I slid in for that. A little vanilla Abraxas on tap.
Ooh.
Okay. Quite nice. Not as nice as the OG. Okay. I think it's one of those things where the OG's just better, man. Like Cafe Diala is not as good as Bourbon County 2019. It's just not. I don't think vanilla Abraxas is better than Abraxas. I'm like, where the fuck is the cinnamon? Where's because it's a chocolate, it's like the original Mexican chocolate stout. It was the one that was done right.
Okay.
Vanilla Abraxas, like, yeah, it kind of tastes like, you know. Vanilla birthday cake, which is cool. But I'm here for that Abraxas, Brad.
Okay.
I'm here for that
vibe. And they didn't deliver.
No. There were three stores there. So I was able to pick up some nice vinyl.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cheers to the Beer Temple for doing that, because this is all in their event space.
Nice. All right.
That was cool. Shout out to the Open Bottle. They turned 5. So they had a 2-day party.
Phase 3, right?
A little third phase there. Uh-huh. Curvature.
So Algonquin now,
right?
Shit.
Lake Zurich,
not Algonquin. Same.
Once you're an 847, I mean, you know, who the fuck's keeping score, right?
Nice. How was that? What'd you have? Did you go over there?
They had a collab. My madre's out there, so I'm out there on weekends. They had a Curvature Batch 3, which I'm kind of glad I didn't wait in line for.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, oh, but they did a collab beer named after their dogs with Transient. So this was a big, like, peanut butter stout with, like, cacao nibs and vanilla.
Okay, all right.
I liked it, but this was one of those beers where Brad would have been like, it's too roasty.
Too roasty.
Yeah, it reminded me of a non-barrelaged version of the one from Phobab from the boys from Weldworks.
That beer was terrible.
I was talking to Jack from Hop Review before I could get it out. Too roasty. Too much roast. This was a very, very peanut buttery beer. But yeah, a big roast on a peanut butter. I meant to ask them, like, how do you do it? Because you could just pour peanut butter powder in it. You could, you know.
Right.
You could throw actual peanut butter in it, but that would be all oily. But how did they do it?
You use peanut butter powder.
Is that everybody?
Yeah,
it was named after their dogs. Super dog-friendly joint.
Okay.
So the Beer Temple, not the Beer Temple, but the Open Bottle. Their dog would just be roaming around. He was like, hey, there's a dog right here. And everybody else's dog is like, yeah, this is my dog. Then you look around and there's like, oh, you're the dog from the t-shirt.
You own this place, dog. This is your place? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That's a fun shop. So I like it. Cheers to them.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. All right. Solid week for us, I feel like. But, you know, that week's over. What's happening this week?
Man.
I know we do have a Coffee Dino S'mores release on Saturday, right? February 1st?
I think you're right.
Or Sunday, whatever that is. You can get your ticket. They do like a pre-order thing where I think you can buy a ticket for $1 and that goes to a donation, or you can show up the day of and wait in line. But always better to, or if you can, buy the ticket beforehand. So, Coffee Dino S'mores. Hitting the streets. I think there's like a special stump coffee with it too, which makes sense because then there might be a we definitely will see stump at Uppers and Downers and usually Off Colors there too.
That's true. Uppers and Downers is coming up. We got Michael Kaiser.
Yeah,
GBH coming up after this.
Next episode coming out. We might have a double episode week.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Like the cover of Lethal Weapon. All right, we got this weekend, we have the Groundhog Saturday 2020 Brewers Rock Fest.
Oh, it's Groundhog Day?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that Monday?
Well, because this is...
If the first is Saturday, then yeah. Yeah. Groundhog Day is Sunday?
So, yeah, that sounds good. Employees and owners from 12 local breweries are showing off their musical talents, Brad. So, this sounds cool. So, it's going to be... at a spot called The Wire, which is down the street from Ken's Liquor. That's in Berwyn.
Okay.
We had their beer at the Oak Park Fest. Ken's Lager.
All right.
So it sounds like they came up with the idea. So it looks like 18th Street will be there. Hot Butcher, Flapjack, Miskatonic, all the, a lot of breweries from the burbs.
Nice.
That's a $45 ticket. That's 3 o'clock on Saturday. First band starts at 3:30. And they're doing 30-minute sets, clear through 11 o'clock. That's a nice spin on a fest. It's like all of our brewing staff is going to be playing live music.
Yeah, that's cool.
I dig that.
That's awesome. Neat. Okay, so check that out.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's all I got for events.
Okay. It's usually like now that February is kicking off, I feel like the events start to kind of roll in.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Uppers and Downers, tickets are... up for, or the golden ticket stuff is up for Dark Lord, right?
Oh yeah, Dark Lord Day tickets are going on sale soon.
So I don't know, everything's happening. Cool. Before we get out of here, any beer news?
Yeah, a little bit. This week, the Burning Bush Brewery opened in on North Center at 4014 North Rockwell. So that's like Irving Park and Rockwell.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't know much about that. I know they have. Those names that are just kind of like, you know, some of them are named after like biblical people or events, something like that. I don't know much about them.
Okay, Irving and Rockwell. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a new brewery opening up.
Nice. First one of 2020.
I think you're right.
First new brewery of 2020. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, Lawman and Eagle is turning 10. So on February 3rd. From 5 to 8, that's on a Monday. They're going to party, man. Big blowout Monday party. RSVP, they're going to do a toast. There'll be drinks, bites, music, and more.
Hmm.
Cheers to them. That's it's one of my favorite places to go for like weeknight. Friends in town.
Well, we talked about them recently about how they have just one of the best whiskey selections. Like for the price point. Of if you want to try like high-end whiskeys that you would never probably buy the bottle for, yeah. You can get a little pour of that. It's expensive, but the chances of you seeing this anywhere else are slim. It's either that or Big Star.
Yeah, for sure. Or Delilah's.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. So cheers to Lawman and Eagle, man. And then Lawman and Eagle has that little boutique hotel attached to it.
There's like four rooms upstairs.
You can like spend the night at Lawman and Eagle.
Yeah, that the lady, the Art of Beer, she stayed there one time.
I remember her. She was from LA. What happened to her? Did she go back to she went to the West Coast? She was from the West Coast. She came to Chicago.
She's back on the West Coast in Seattle. So just doing whatever. Less beer stuff. Doing but
Seattle stuff.
Yeah.
I remember she had a Curtis Mayfield record, Bright Orange, was spinning. And yeah, I went and got that record immediately right after. I was like, man, this is great. I want
this. Yeah. Cool. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Or not this week, because we'll have a second one coming out with Michael Kaiser.
Yeah.
So get your tickets for Uppers and Downers. We will remind you again there. I got some questions. I want to know who's going to be there. Should we go the night or the early? I like the early.
Early's more fun.
For the amount of coffee you drink, I feel like you go early.
Yeah.
You go down there. You get breakfast maybe over at what's the pie shop? There's some good restaurants in the area, and then you can like make your way over to Tully Hall. So, all right, but we'll talk more about that on the next episode. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Facebook. The YouTube channel is now, we got over 100 subs, so we got the name Chicago Beer Pass on there. You can like youtube.com/Chicago Beer Pass. Look at us.
Fucking A.
The Versus series is up there.
Yes. First two episodes were High Life versus Chug Life, and then Sure Bet from Pipeworks. It was the double IPA with honey episode.
And mango.
Yeah. Oh, and mango. Sure Bet versus Hop Slam.
Yeah. And we were split on that one.
Yeah, man. Hop Slam brought back all the memories, man. That was fun to do.
So we're looking for our next one to do, so keep a lookout for that. We have a Beer Pass After Dark with Chris Jacobson coming up next week.
Oh shit.
Cuz then we got
Dark Side
coming up. So yeah, a lot of stuff. We got basically four different things you can watch Nick and I drink beer on, with the show, our reviews, the Versus series, or you can't watch Beer Pass After Dark, but you can listen to us drunken ramble on that. So the spinoffs of Chicago Beer Pass are growing.
I like that. We need that.
All right. That'll do it. Take care.
Cheers.